This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Today, we'll hear from President of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, Gene Payne. Gene and I had a conversation about fall fertilizer application and the mission of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association.
We've been around for 50 years, and from day one when our association started was about the time in Illinois' history when fertilizers and chemicals really became a significant part of us increasing crop production in Illinois. And our goal ever since then has been the proper stewardship and handling and application and transportation of those products, as we always know that if we don't as an industry handle pesticides and fertilizers appropriately, the public trusts us to do that and to use them judiciously. And that's really been our mission, as well as to help our members comply with regulations that impact the fertilizer industry.
Increasing regulations has been a hot topic, and it's becoming more of an issue, especially this year. I know it's been in the headlines. And something that you guys do, you have sort of a slogan, and it's called Keep It For Our Crop.
Right, and the 4R in there kind of mimics 4-hour, but 4R stands for right source, right rate, right time, right place. And those are really the tenets of fertilizer application, making sure that as a farmer, whether you're growing soybeans, wheat, corn, vegetable crops, that you choose the right source of fertilizer, you put it on at the right time, at the right rate, and put it in the right place in the soil, because every type of fertilizer is a little bit different. Right now, for example, we're encouraging farmers to get their dry fertilizer on, their phosphorus and their potassium, get it worked into the soil a little bit before the soils freeze up. We do not promote spreading of fertilizer on snow-covered, frozen soils. So that's a big message that we're out there with. And then also, we fall apply nitrogen in Illinois. We're fortunate that we can do that in Illinois because our soils are very conducive to having nitrogen injected in the soil and have it held there over the winter time so that in springtime the farmers can be ready to plant. We put it on in anhydrous ammonia form. It's a gas, but it seals to the soil when it's injected. But the important thing is that nitrogen goes on in a very stable form. It goes on as ammonia. As long as the soil is warm, the soil will eat at that ammonia, convert it to nitrate, and that's what's leachable and what we can lose to water supplies or through tile drainage. And so we really ask farmers and fertilizer dealers to wait until soil temperatures get close to 50 degrees and they're getting cool enough so that bacterial activity really slows down in the soil and it doesn't convert that ammonia to a leachable form. We want that ammonia to be for the corn crop next year, not to go into any of our rivers, lakes, and streams.
Do you encourage split application of nitrogen, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we do that as well, and that's really a fairly new thing, something in the last probably 8 years. It used to be that fertilizer was thought of as, well, something I need to get done. So whether I put it all on in the fall or all on in the spring, it was kind of like the full rates typically went out in one shot. And we've learned over time that by splitting up the applications, you know, some in the fall, some with your herbicides before you plant, some side dress after the plant comes up, you really allow that crop to utilize that nitrogen in different stages of growth, whether it's pre-plant or during growth. And you also minimize your environmental risk because you don't have all your nitrogen out there at one time. So if you have a major rain event or you can't get crops planted because it's too wet, you know, that fertilizer could just be sitting out there. And nitrogen will not stay in the environment, in the soil environment forever. It will turn into a leachable form or it can be volatilized to air. So it's important to try to time it better so the crop can take it up. And we've seen phenomenal success with that, with yields and with lowering our environmental risk as well.
What you also mentioned was you do not encourage spreading dry fertilizer on frozen or snow-covered soil. Can you kind of elaborate on that, maybe for those that are not aware of why you don't encourage that?
Well, I can. So think about your driveway outside and think about your lawn being next to it. You know, typically when we fertilize things, we like it to either make contact with the soil or with the plant that's growing. If you put it on a surface that's impenetrable at the time, or lock it up in an ice layer that could easily melt and run off before the ground can soak it in, that creates risk of fertilizer loss. Sometimes I think we haven't thought too much about this because the ground freezes up and you think, well, I could get my fertilizer applied and I won't compact the soil because the ground's frozen. But it's literally like laying on a tabletop. And for the last 2 years, when we've had March roll around and we've had some significant warm-ups in the spring and rapid snow melts and even rain in the spring, and if that soil is still frozen underneath that pack of snow, the fertilizer can move right off with the snow when it melts. And we've had some instances where that's caused some water quality concerns in a few of our watersheds in March. And so we really are encouraging people to get your fertilizer on now if you're going to put dry fertilizer on. And it's okay to put it on in the spring, too, but sometimes in the spring we get behind and we can't get everything done. So there's an opportunity to get it in contact with the soil and ready for the spring in the following year. That's the best time to do it, not on the winter ground. And just for people to know, the lawn care industry is prohibited by law from spreading lawn fertilizer during the winter or on snowpack. And so we're really kind of just following that same tenet of, you know, we want it to be for the crop, not on an impermeable surface.
Once again, that was Gene Payne, president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. We'll be back with more after these messages. Google announced Tuesday the company will invest in a wind power project in Kenya that will be Africa's biggest wind farm once completed. The Lake Turkana Wind Power Project, which broke ground in July, is expected to generate 1,400 gigawatt hours of power per year, or 15% of the country's electricity consumption. The Washington Post reports it could be big news for Kenya, as the project is expected to save the country more than $113 million per year in imported fuel costs. The country relies heavily on hydropower and fossil fuels. The wind power project is Google's 22nd renewable energy investment. The Federal Aviation Administration's decision to set up a drone registration system, possibly within the next 2 months, is a tacit admission. The Washington Post writes that the FAA can't safely integrate the popular remote-controlled planes into national airspace. However, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is concerned drone registration will pose new obstacles for producers.
It is going to cause a lot of red tape for people, but the extent to which individual farmers don't buy their own drones, then it's not a problem. A lot of farmers contract with other companies that have drones to run drones over their fields. Those companies would go through that red tape. There might be some cost passed on to the farmer for it.
Grassley says that any registration fee would probably be nominal, and he has no doubt the FAA has the authority to regulate drones in airspace used by commercial and private aircrafts. But Grassley argues there's more to the issue.
Registration doesn't deal just with the safety. It kind of deals with who owns a drone. And when the federal government wants to communicate with people about drones and feels the necessary communication, it gives a sure list of people to communicate and say if there's any change of government policy.
And as Judiciary Committee Chair Grassley says,
but for the Judiciary Committee, we would be concerned about drones and Fourth Protection Amendment of privacy of individuals. In other words, using drones to snoop as an example.
The privacy issue came up a few years ago when some producers charged the EPA was spying on their fields. Grassley says Congress never addressed privacy, but still could. Today's pork fact of the day is that the Illinois pork producers will be at Hy-Vee in Springfield this afternoon giving away free pork samples. That's at the Hy-Vee on MacArthur Boulevard from 2 to 4 p.m. They'll be handing out Cherry Coke sliders, pork burgers, and pork nacho samples. Patrons will also receive coupons to purchase pork, tailgating items, and favorite pork recipe cards while supplies last. So if you're in the area in Springfield today between 2 and 4 p.m., stop by the Hy-Vee on MacArthur Boulevard to get yourself a free pork sample. And if you would like to enter into our pork certificate giveaway contest, send us an email to WSMI at WSMIradio.com. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.